Chapter 13. Responding to Roberta Golding's summons, the four next met in a farmhouse in another footprint of Miami, only a few worlds away from the LETC construction site. The house was just a few decades old, yet long abandoned, and the marsh had already reclaimed the ground the vanished pioneers had roughly cleared. For Roberta Golding, at least, it offered a welcome relief from the intensity of the sun. Nobody knew they were here, the next hid away in the worlds of dim-bulb humanity. They were due for a regular update meeting anyhow, which was why Roberta was in this part of the Long Earth, far from the Grange. But after the incident of the bootstrap site with Stan Berg and the kobold, Melinda Bennett had requested an earlier session. Melinda was one of the two arbiters who had come to the aid of Stan Berg and Rocky Lewis. The other, here too in his sweat-stained green uniform, was called Gerd Schultz. The fourth person here today was Marvin Lovelace, the card sharp. Marvin spoke first.
"He's obviously a candidate, the boy Stan Berg. Without even trying, he was 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of those construction workers in the game. With poker, you need emotional intelligence, of course. You need to be able to read people. It was as if they were showing him their hands."
He spoke in English, not quick talk. They all did here. On low Earths, the crowded worlds close to the datum, there was always a chance of some kind of eavesdropping. Even in a property like this, apparently abandoned, there could be a low-power cam left running by some opportunistic peeping Tom, for instance. It was frustrating to talk so slowly, as if they were spelling out words with a baby's lettered wooden blocks. But they had to communicate somehow. They had to take a chance.
Gerd said now, "He has emotional intelligence, maybe, but not maturity. He put himself at risk by charging into that crowd of bozos around the kobold."
Roberta took off her spectacles and rubbed tired eyes. She was over 30 years old now. Even among the next, she reflected, maybe age was necessary for true wisdom. She remembered very well her own adolescence. She'd been only a little younger than Stan when she travelled on a Chinese twain into the far long earth with all its wonders and horrors. Unable to look away, unable not to understand, she had cried herself to sleep most nights.
"Are you mocking him, Gerd? Berg's instinct, however uneducated, may be better than yours. What was it you called the others? Bozos?"
Marvin folded his arms. "I reckon he was bluffing, like in his poker. I think he knew he'd be saved."
Melinda asked,
"Who by? Us?"
Marvin said, "It's possible. Maybe he's guessed the true nature of the arbiters, or at least has some unconscious suspicion about you."
The arbiters, a purely voluntary force, recruited from amongst themselves by the next, worked to keep the peace on the low Earths, in the general absence of police support after the post-Yellowstone implosion of Datum America.
"I sometimes think you're a bit too obvious, you guys in your green uniforms, wandering around the dim bold worlds, sorting things out."
Gerd snorted.
"Whereas it's morally acceptable for you to fleece them at gambling games."
Marvin held up his hands.
"I'm here to follow our consensus aims, just like you. Even if it doesn't always seem wise to me. We went to the Grange in the first place as a refuge from these people. Our mother culture, who put a bunch of next kids in a high-tech concentration camp on Hawaii, and then considered bombing Happy Landings, our Garden of Eden. Now here we are, out again, infiltrating their culture. Anyhow, the dim bulbs don't get suspicious about gambling. They almost expect you to be smarter than they are, almost expect you to cheat. High finance is the same, by the way."
Which, of course, was why Marvin himself was a good agent, a good contact for recruitment. Next candidate types like Stan were often drawn to gambling for the rare opportunities it offered in dim bulb worlds to use their superior intellects to make some money. When they came, Marvin was in a prime sight to spot them.
Roberta nodded. "Your work's understood, Marvin. And appreciated. but you know as well as I do that the debate is fluid. Some say we shouldn't intervene at all, even in the most gross cases. And at the other extreme, there is the greening, the idea that we should work to restore humans to their wild state, which some next theorists argued was something like humanity's Middle Stone Age, a pre-farming, pre-metals age of small wandering bands. All humans needed, some next argued, all they needed to turn the long Earth into a true long utopia, was a little gentle nudging from their intellectual superiors, which, skeptics pointed out, when the cities broke up and the governments dissolved and humanity became a race of transient wanderers, would leave the next in a position of permanent control. Marvin folded his arms. So if we're unsure of our goals, why are we working on West 4 at all? Why the hell are we helping them build these big new space programs? Some of them seem to be groping spontaneously, in fact, for something like the greening. Look at the Comas. And you have workers out there in Miami 4 protesting because they think the slow pace of the project is the fault of their inadequate bosses. We know it's not. It's not even anything economic, financial, political. We know the problem is that human industrial society is softening at the edges. The lifestyle they call coma is just too tempting. Especially after an accident or some such, you get swathes of workers just downing tools and walking away to go pick fruit. People don't have to work like this, and increasingly, they just won't. So why are we here? Roberta sighed. Because these low Earths still have large populations after the Yellowstone emigrations. Declining, but still large. They must stay organized on large scales just to feed their own people. And because for now, they can do this, and we can't. We need the benefits too. The next were still few in number, their direct technological capability limited. We rely on high-tech goods of all kinds. Frankly, we're parasitical on the low-Earth cultures for such goods. So until we have a better solution of our own, we let this run and encourage it subtly.
Hmm, said Marvin. You know, they tell a joke, the dim bulbs. Doctor, doctor, my brother-in-law thinks he's a tomcat. Well, says the doc, bring him in to see me and I'll cure him. I can't, says the guy. We need him to keep down the mice. That's what you're saying about the dim bulbs. These guys are crazy, a pathology. It would be kinder to let them all wander off back into the forest where they came from. But we won't let them be cured, because we need them to keep down the mice. He laughed softly. Gerd said, Well, we need to make a decision about this boy, Stan Berg. Whether or not he knows already what he is, and I have a feeling he does, we may need to get him out of here and to the Grange for his own protection. Roberta nodded. I agree. You're right. I'll break cover and talk to Stan and his family when he returns. Where did he go, by the way?
Marvin shrugged, and the arbiters looked blank.